Trials and Tribulations. Today was my trial, and of course, I was pretty much freaking out. Sir Hawk placed shackles on my arms and legs and escorted me out of the dungeon. He must have felt guilty or something because he said,
"I feel really sorry for you, kid. I hate my job, but I need it to keep food on the table."
I stared at his big, bulging belly. I had a hard time believing he was going to die of starvation anytime soon, even if there wasn't food on his table. He continued,
"Your trial starts in 30 minutes, and your execution is immediately afterward. They're setting up the guillotine right now."
"Guillotine?" I shrieked. "But what if I'm found innocent?"
"The Queen of Hearts is ruthless and heartless. She'll execute you regardless of the outcome, so it won't really matter if you're innocent."
"But that's not fair," I yelled. "Nobody told me I was going to be executed after my trial, even if I was found innocent."
"What do you mean? I just told you a couple of seconds ago," Sir Hawk said, looking at me like I had the IQ of belly button lint. Then he pulled a dozen chicken nuggets out of his helmet and popped them one by one into his mouth. He licked his fingers, burped like an ox, and sadly shook his head.
"Listen, Pipsqueak. Being in the Queen's justice system is like grabbing a fire-breathing dragon by the tail. Basically, you're toast."
I was doomed. My heart was pounding so hard and fast it seemed to be echoing through the dank stairwell. I gasped when Mackenzie suddenly popped out of nowhere, cackling like a, wicked witch.
"You murderer!" I screamed.
"Why?"
"Why? Because I'm going to be Queen of Fairy Tale Land. But first, I need to dispose of you and all the other pesky renegades."
"But why the renegades?" I asked. "What did they ever do to you?"
"They're always hanging out in the woods, sticking their noses in other people's business and interfering with my master plan," Mackenzie complained.
"You mean by helping other people trying to fulfill their own dreams and making Fairy Tale Land a better place?" I asked.
"Whatever. You sound like a cheap greeting card. The Regals were bored, self-absorbed little brats until you came along. Now they're obsessed with becoming heroes," Mackenzie fumed. "It's disgusting, and making my job a lot harder."
"Mackenzie, you're a spoiled, self-absorbed, power-hungry little brat. And disgusting, too."
"You say that like it's a bad thing. It had taken me forever, but I'd finally gotten the Regals and Renegades to hate each other. And themselves. Then you came along and messed up everything. So now it's off with your head, girlfriend."
"Well, if I don't stop you, I'm sure somebody will," I said, staring right into her beady little eyes.
"Don't count on it, sweetie. The Queen of Hearts and the Wizard are already my brainless pawns, and soon I'll dispose of them as well. And your silly, incompetent godmother Brianna made a great salad, don't you think? She was never a match for me."
When she mentioned poor Brianna, I got a big lump in my throat and blinked back my tears. Mackenzie was evil incarnate. But I already knew that neither the Queen of Hearts nor the Wizard would believe me, even if I exposed her diabolical plan.
"Well, I better be going. I have a front row seat to an execution, and I don't want to keep the Queen waiting," she giggled.
The main courtyard of the castle was packed with spectators and had an almost festive air. At the center was a huge stage. The Queen's throne sat 10 feet away from a large guillotine that she had obviously designed herself. It was heart-shaped, sprinkled with glitter, and decorated with balloons and pink and red hearts. It was simply adorable, in a very sick, dark, and demented kind of way. I took the stage and stood before her, shivering with fear.
The queen smiled and addressed the huge crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, standing before you is the most vicious, cruel, and sinister person of all time. And I am not referring to myself. I'm talking about her, she said dramatically, pointing at me with her scepter.
A collective gasp rose from the crowd, and a few people booed.
As your queen, the judge, and the jury, I hereby order that Nikki Maxwell shall be immediately executed for the crime of treason and...
The king timidly tapped the queen on her shoulder. Excuse me for interrupting, dear, but what about the trial? To be fair, we first need to have...
This is my courtroom, she screamed. And I can do whatever I please. Do you understand that?
Yes, dear, stammered the king.
Since you insist, we'll have a trial, she said sweetly. The first witness I'd like to call to testify is Bud the Baker.
Surprised, Bud the Baker took the stage and stood nervously before the queen.
So, Bud, what were you doing 2 days ago while Nikki Maxwell was so stealthily corrupting the young people of this kingdom? The queen asked.
I don't know. All I do every day is bake, he said with a shrug. I'm not really sure why you called me up here. Never seen her before.
And what do you bake?
Cinnamon rolls and cupcakes, too, Bud answered.
I love cupcakes. Do you make the kind with little hearts on them? Those are my favorite.
Actually, I do, Bud answered.
How about the ones with yummy cream filling on the inside?
Yes, I make those, too.
I rolled my eyes. What did cream-filled cupcakes have to do with me? The queen was even more insane than I had imagined.
Now, would you bake a cream-filled heart cupcake for a ruthless criminal who was encouraging young people to go against the rules and follow their dreams?
The queen screamed at Bud the Baker.
Well, I don't think that would probably be something I'd ever consider doing at the time, he babbled, overcome with fear.
Thank you, Bud the Baker. I rest my case. Based on this testimony, I find the defendant Nikki.
I couldn't just stand there any longer, listening to her foolishness, so I had to rudely interrupt her. Your Highness, with all due respect, I object to your guilty verdict, I said. You're not being fair, and this trial wasn't fair. The people of this kingdom just want to be happy, and all I was trying to do was...
Objection overruled, the queen growled,
and she stood up and yelled.
Nikki Maxwell, I find you guilty of treason. Off with your head.
4 royal guards quickly surrounded me to escort me to the guillotine for my execution. OMG, I felt like I was going to faint. Mackenzie was smiling insanely and waving goodbye to me.
Now, dear, aren't we being a bit hasty? The king sputtered. Surely there are witnesses who actually know what really...
Please, Your Honor, you're making a big mistake. I beg of you, just let me explain what happened, I pleaded desperately.
Silence! Screamed the Queen of Hearts. Who among you dares to defy my order of execution?
It was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. That's when someone cleared his throat and answered,
Your Majesty, I defy you. Release the princess or answer to me.
I couldn't believe my eyes or my ears. Prince Brandon had come to rescue me.
Squee! The princess protectors demand that you free Nikki, yelled 3 girls.
It was Snow White, Rapunzel, and Sleeping Beauty, channeling the Three Musketeers.
"Let Nikki go or else!" shouted Goldilocks and Red Riding Hood. I couldn't help but notice they were rocking glam new makeovers. OMG, I was so happy to see all my friends. And from the looks of it, they had come totally prepared to kick some butt. I frantically scanned the crowd, praying I'd see Brianna's big silly grin, but she wasn't there. I felt another rush of overwhelming sadness. Suddenly, the Queen of Hearts stood up and bellowed, "Guards, apprehend them! I want them captured alive so I can execute each and every one of them!" I watched in awe as the Princess Protectors and Brandon took on a half dozen palace guards. All three girls were joyriding on Snow White's wheelchair with swords drawn, while Brandon pushed them around the courtyard. They looked like an angry three-horned bull on wheels. When it became apparent that their side was losing, Mackenzie and the Queen tried to sneak away. But Red Riding Hood and Goldilocks stopped them dead in their tracks.
"Guard, take care of these two now," yelled the Queen.
A burly 6-foot-tall guard took one look at Red Riding Hood and Goldilocks and laughed.
"You two think you're a match for me?" he scoffed. "Cute basket. Are you going to throw cupcakes at me? I'm really scared. So what's in the basket, sister?"
Totally ticked off, Red Riding Hood picked up her basket and swung it at him. Pow! The man lay sprawled on the ground, howling in pain.
"Ouch! What was in that basket? Rocks?"
"No, it's the muffins she baked this morning," Goldilocks said. "They're hard as rocks, and taste like them too."
With both girls temporarily distracted, Mackenzie ran toward me as she pulled out her wand, but Brandon saw her coming. He quickly lunged between us and threw his arms up to block her.
"No!"
I was really thankful that Prince Brandon had stepped in to try to protect me from Mackenzie, but now he had placed himself in imminent danger.
"Stand aside, Prince Brandon, or you'll be sorry," Mackenzie threatened.
"If you don't back off, you're going to be sorry," he said, taking a step toward her.
"Really?" she sneered. "Well, aren't you a brave little prince? But let's see how brave you are when you're green, 4 inches tall, and hopping around in the swamp eating flies." "No!"
I shouted. "This is between you and me, Mackenzie. I've already lost Brianna, and I don't want you hurting any more innocent people."
"Hey, I know," she said as an evil grin spread across her face. "Why don't I turn you both into frogs? How romantic."
Then she pointed her wand at us. But before we could react, a bright light flashed from a wand and the room filled with mist. And when it cleared,
OMG, Brianna?
Brianna, yes, Brianna, turned Mackenzie into a frog. When I saw Brianna, I was so happy that I burst into tears. I gave her the biggest hug ever. I never imagined that I'd ever see her alive again. When I asked about the potted plant disguise, Brianna explained that she had quickly ditched it as soon as Mackenzie became suspicious. The guard had just chopped up a poor houseplant, not Brianna. Then she'd spent the rest of her time rounding up all my friends to help rescue me from the Queen of Hearts' castle. Brianna had actually saved my life. Soon, 4 dozen royal guards from the Charming Kingdom arrived on the scene, and not a minute too soon. The Queen and her royal court were quickly placed under house arrest to be brought before King Charming and the Fairytale Land Council for punishment.
"Prince Brandon, what are you doing here?" I finally asked as he flashed me a big smile.
"Well, after your inspiring pep talk about following my dreams,
I decided to go on a very dangerous quest to return a priceless object to the most lovely princess in the kingdom.
Really? How did it go? I asked, slightly annoyed.
I didn't want to admit it, but I was feeling a little jealous of whoever this new princess was. In spite of the time we'd spent together at the ball, apparently he had already moved on to someone else.
Well, actually, I'm not really sure yet, Prince Brandon said, staring at me with a very amused look on his face. I personally didn't see what was so dang funny.
Then he bowed like the perfect gentleman and said, Princess Nikki, I have courageously risked my life for you. It is with great honor that I return this to its rightful owner.
My glass slipper! Why, thank you, Prince Brandon, I giggled.
And if you don't believe shoes are the most important thing in life, you should ask Cinderella. Or me. Everyone laughed at my silly joke, but I think Prince Brandon and I laughed the hardest.
It was amazing to see that the Renegades and the Regals had taken my advice. They were not only actively pursuing their dreams, but good friends. Everyone seemed so much happier now than when I had first arrived. Well, almost everyone. That frog spell Brianna cast on Mackenzie lasted 24 hours. Soon it was time to say our goodbyes. Red Riding Hood, Goldilocks, Snow White, Rapunzel, and Sleeping Beauty all gave me big hugs and promised to come visit me in my faraway kingdom. Only Brandon seemed to sense the truth, that we probably would never see each other again. Except in another life. And we were both totally fine with that. Because everyone knows that in fairy tales, the prince and princess always live. Happily ever after.